We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're ready for the weekend. Man, I'm not going to lie to you. I can get used to these temperatures we got right now. 72 degrees at Beaver, 79 at May Ranch, 77 at Sealing, 75 at Camargo, home of my cousin. 82 degrees at Eric, 84 at Hollis, 82 also at Hobart, out here in the panhandle of Texas. 76 at McLean, 77 at Canadian, 82 at Wellington, and 82 at Odell. Childress, you're a whopping 80 degrees there. So just beautiful, beautiful weather out there. Looks like they're, you know, it's a prediction, but if it happens, there'll be a lot of happy farmers and ranchers this weekend in the eastern Texas panhandle in western Oklahoma. According to one of the meteorologists I was looking at a while ago, is calling for 1 to 2 inches in these areas, widespread, and some areas up to 3 inches. So everybody just keep their fingers crossed and give the man above us a thumbs up, and hopefully we can get some of that rain. It'd be really good, because it's August, and I already know there's some people chomping at the bit here in a couple, 2 or 3 weeks to get some fall forage in, winter forage in for the fall. How's that? Got that going on. Okay, coming up at 1:30 the hour, I'm going to have Marcus Thibodeau, manager at the Packsaddle and Ellis County Wildlife Management Areas, and we're going to be talking about an event they got coming up there, next Friday. And if you're wanting to improve your habitat on your land for quail and stuff, this is going to be a great event to go to. I really want to go up there and go to this, and I want to do my show from the Packsaddle Bar. But I scheduled working cattle, preg checking cows, and second round of shots and working calves and weaning calves next Friday morning a long time ago, so I don't get to go. But we're going to talk about it here coming up pretty shortly. Speaking of quail, what's the quail report out there from everybody? I think it's pretty good. I've seen a lot of pairs on the road here in the last week or two, and seen quite a few babies up before that. So if I know my quail right, that means that if we're seeing pairs out on the road or wherever again, that means that the female, the mama quail, has found her another hubby while her ex-hubby's taking care of the other babies. And so it's looking good. Get a second hatch. We might already had the second hatch. We might be looking towards the third hatch. We won't know till hunting season, but it's about 100 days till quail season, so it's not that far away. So good deal. All right, today is the Wheeler General Store happy hour. I have a fun Wheeler General Store question for you guys. We're just playing for the fun of it today. 580-225-9697. Shoot me a text on with your answer, and you don't have to send me your name. I don't have anything to give you today. Oh, I do, but I just don't want to go downstairs and get it. So what do you call a cow that just had a calf? What do you call a cow that just had a calf? I stole this from Casey Shepard, by the way, and Blaine Arthur, Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Oklahoma. They had it on, Casey had it posted early this morning. There's your hint to find the answer. Her and Blaine were at the state capitol yesterday for the Livestock Awards. So, good thing. All right, let's see what happened overnight in our big world of agriculture. And I see that our live and our feeders are recovering a little bit yesterday. That's took a big hit on the board yesterday, but it'd be interesting to see what happens at Elk City today with their auction going on. I need to shoot a text over there to a couple people I know and see what's happening over there. I really don't think it's going to be affecting the cash market that much if it does. And I will let you know that I stopped by there early this morning, seen the cranky old lady, old Cousin Kay, and I dropped her some tomatoes off, and she gave me a hug. I was caught way off guard. She actually said, "Give me a hug for those." So, and I seen her Walmart tomatoes laying there, so she was really excited when she got some tomatoes from me this morning. All right, let's see what went on last night in our world of agriculture. Wheat futures were lower in overnight trading amid favorable weather in several global growing areas. Rainfall in northwestern areas of the U.S. plains likely will improve moisture for wheat that is nearing harvest, said Don Kenning, a agriculture meteorologist with Maxar. Precipitation in some areas where harvest has already started will slow collection. Sorry, I had a cough. 1% of the U.S. spring wheat was harvested at the beginning of the week, beyond the prior five-year average of 3%, according to the USDA. About 49% of the crop was in good or excellent condition as of Sunday. That was down from 52% a week earlier. Precipitations in parts of the Black Sea region also will boost moisture for crops. Kenley said in a note to clients. Kenny said in a note to clients, rain should improve moisture in east central Ukraine, but dryness will linger in southern Ukraine and central north Russia. Showers in parts of the New South Wales, Australia will improve wheat prospects, the forecaster said. Some improvement is possible in parts of the Canadian prairies next week, though little precipitation is expected through the weekend in that area. Negotiations from the U.S. and China, the world's largest two economies, met in Stockholm this week. We talked about earlier this week, but they didn't come to a deal. Wheat for September delivery fell 3.75 cents to 519.5 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Kansas City futures were down 3.75 cents to 522.5 a bushel. Corn futures for December delivery came up 0.75 cents to 414.5 a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 1 penny to 988.5 a bushel. Soy meal was up 80 cents to 276.80 a short ton, and soybean oil dropped 0.31 cents to 54.43 cents a pound. Prices received by farmers in June fell 1.2% month to month, but were up 9.2% from the same month last year, according to the USDA in its monthly report. The crop production index last month came up 0.3% from May, but dropped 3.5% year over year. Grain and oilseed prices received fell 3.1% from May and were down 5.3% from June of 24. The feed grain index lost 3.5% monthly and 0.7% on an annual basis, according to the USDA. Food grain prices in June plunged 9.4% from the previous month and we're down 11% from last year. The USDA's oilseed index showed prices received came up 0.4% from May, but was down 10% from last year. Prices received for livestock were down 0.2% monthly, but up 16% annually. The meat animal index came up 4.4% monthly and 22% annually. The dairy index was unchanged month to month, but down 6.5% from June of last year. According to the National Weather Service, looks like we got thunderstorms from Kansas through Nebraska, through South and North Dakota, and they got some mean ones going up there, large hail and damaging winds, and perhaps a tornado or two may be possible in that area up there. We don't need that. Okay, let's see here. What else we got going on? Again, here it is, the Wheeler General Store Happy Hour. And the question, the fun question today is, what do you call a cow that just had a calf? And there's your fun question of the day. 580-225-9697 is the text line. Send your answer in there. Don't worry about your name. No prizes today. Also, we're going to have Marcus Thibodeau on here in about 15 minutes. We're going to be talking about what's going to be happening up there with the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife, the NRCS, Quail Forever, big event going on up there next Friday at the Pack Saddle. What do they call that? Their test grounds? I don't know. I can't remember what they call it. I just hunted it last year. Anyway, their research. There we go. I got you. I knew I'd think of it. Their research area up there east of the Pack Saddle Bar. That's coming up. And then also, speaking of quail, I'd like to hear your thoughts on what you guys are seeing out there. And speaking of quail, the fifth annual North Fork Quail Forever golf tournament is tomorrow. It's a fundraiser, and it's full. You stop by and say hi to the guys. We'll be happening. We got a full field going on at Sarah National. And raising money for our local North Fork Quail Forever chapter. All that, like I said, all that money stays right here. It helps us get the banquet fired up, which is coming up at the end of next month, last Thursday of September. I think it's 24th, 25th. Last Thursday is all I remember. It's every year, last Thursday of the month. All right, let's take a Wheeler General Store break, and we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You farmers like saving money on stuff you gotta have? You can save instantly when you buy two or more eligible Bridgestone or Firestone Ag tires at Blair Tire and Feed. Get $300 off all eligible AD2IF and VF radial tires and Bridgestone radials. Get $200 off all eligible non-AD2 radial tires, and get $25 off Destination Farm and Destination Turf. Blair Tire and Feed at the crossroads in Blair, Oklahoma. Save instantly on the tires you gotta have.
When you're out working in the shop and the garage this summer, stay comfortable with a Portacool Apex cooler. Napa Auto and Truck Parts in Elk City, Weatherford, and Hinton has compact spot coolers for the garage. They've also got high-powered units that cool up to 6,500 square feet. Each unit blasts cool air up to 60 feet and connects to your phone with the CoolSync app for remote control. They're quiet, efficient, and tough with a lifetime warranty on molded housings. Swing by your local Napa and get your Portacool Apex cooler and stay comfortable while you work this summer.
Hey folks, this is EJ Gredeman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, and expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma, or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
At Target, back-to-school days are here. What is back-to-school days, you ask? We're talking 7 days of deals on looks and styles the kids will love at prices you'll love even more. Because back-to-school at Target means getting all of the above. Through August 2nd, save 25% on select kids' clothes with additional savings to round out their looks, including uniforms, leggings, polos, and activewear. Plus, their new favorite backpacks are 30% off. Happy back-to-school days now through August 2nd, only at Target. Terms and conditions apply.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, July 25th. 1,535 head were sold. 12 head of steers at 470 brought 415. 5 at 544 brought 397.50. 19 at 556 brought 382. 10 at 636 brought 345. 6 at 694 brought 343. 2 at 907 brought 310. 4 head of heifers at 320 brought 470. 9 at 389 brought 405, 30 at 421 brought 398, 13 at 438 brought 410, 12 at 445 brought 415, butcher cows were 135 to 181, butcher bulls brought 168 to 210, bred cows 2100 to 3400, pairs 3200 to 4050, Elk City Livestock Auction 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right. Well, welcome back. Wellington, Texas. Here's your ag weather update for the Panhandle of Texas. 84 degrees, heat index is 86, humidity's 57, the dew point 67. The wind's out of the northeast at 10 miles an hour, gusts 15, peak wind gust today 19. Let's see here. No rainfall so far this month. 8-inch soil temperature, 87 degrees. Out there in the big town of Wellington, Texas. All right, let's check out what's happening with the board real quick. We got dial-ups. What we got? Here we go. There we go. Corn for September, 389, down 4 1/4. December, 411, down 2 3/4. Soybeans for August, 963, up 2. September, 971, up 1.5. Soybean meal, August, 266.40, up $4.60. And so is September at 270.50. Soybean oil, August, 54.65, down 93. September wheat, wrong wheat there. There we go. September, hard red winter wheat, 520, down 5 3/4. December, 540, down 4 3/4. Oil out of West Texas, September, 67.49, down 177. Natural gas is hanging in there at $3.09 for September. The NASDAQ and S&P and the Dow are all way down in the red. Not so much on the cattle. Lives, August, 229.92, up 215. October, 223.42, up 27. And what do we got here? Feeders for August, 333.60, up 222. September, 332.92, up 137. And October is 331 even, up 82 cents. All right. This will be really cool if it happens. I'm not lying. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin proposes rescinding the 2009 greenhouse gas endangerment finding. If the proposal goes into effect, it could potentially lead to DEF systems no longer being required in tractors, trucks, and other equipment using diesel-powered engines, a decision many farmers and others in the ag community would and will applaud. Mark Berndo has strong words to describe his ongoing experience using machinery requiring diesel exhaust fluid on his southeast Iowa farm. It has been an absolute nightmare, at least for us, and I can name you a half a dozen of them around here the same thing. Mechanics make trip after trip to do little stuff that's very expensive to fix, said Berndo, who produces grain and beef cattle near Washington. We had planting delays last spring, little stuff that came from it and just seemed like an issue to deal with day after day. The ongoing mechanical issues and costs are why Berndo said he's all for the EPA rescinding the 2009 greenhouse gas endangerment finding. The finding has enabled the agency to regulate greenhouse gas emissions under Section 202 of the Clean Air Act, and in recent years launched requirements such as the use of the diesel exhaust fluid systems and diesel-powered engines. On Tuesday, EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin released a proposal to rescind that 2009 finding. If finalized, the proposal will remove all greenhouse gas standards from light, medium, and heavy-duty vehicles and heavy-duty engines, a EPA said in a follow-up press release. The move would start with EPA's first greenhouse gas standard set in 2010 for light-duty vehicles and those in 2010 for medium-duty and heavy-duty vehicles and engines. EPA said the proposal is expected to save Americans $54 billion in cost annually through the repeal of all greenhouse gas standards, including Biden's EPA electric vehicle mandate under conservative economic forecast. Zeldin made the announcement to rescind the finding in Indiana alongside Energy Secretary Chris Wright and called it the largest deregulatory action in U.S. history. So what is this decision? What will it mean to farmers? Specific to U.S. farmers, the proposal can potentially result in diesel exhaust fluid systems no longer being introduced on new tractors and other heavy-duty equipment using diesel-powered engines, said Chip Flory, host of AgriTalk, during a farmer forum discussion on Wednesday. South Dakota farmer Ryan Wagner told Flory he has a wait-and-see perspective on how or whether the EPA proposal goes into effect. He anticipates that reversing the finding will take considerable time and effort for the EPA to implement, and there'll be all kinds of lawsuits. That seems like the going thing in politics now. Starting back in a lot back in 2014, 16, every time a president or vice president, a senate or house or doctor or whatever do anything, somebody's always coming in there suing them. It took a long time with interim engines to get into full def in the first place, Wagner said. I don't know how long it will take to unwind all that and how quickly manufacturers will take those systems right off, but it'll be interesting to see what happens, and it will be. To Wagner's point, here's a brief look back at some of the time showing how the diesel exhaust fluid rolled out into agriculture and non-road equipment and became mandatory. So in 2008, DEF become required for all new diesel engines with engine sizes over 750 horsepower. 2011, regulations expanded to include equipment with engine sizes between 175 horse and 750. By 2015, all new non-road diesel engines were required to be a Tier 4 compliant and utilize diesel exhaust fluid, regardless of equipment type or engine size. So anyway, yeah, here it is. Expect legal challenges to the EPA decisions. A number of environmental groups have already blasted the move and says it spells out the end of the road for U.S. action against climate change. So there we go. My thoughts on the deal is if they would quit letting tourists pet and take pictures of the buffalo up in Yellowstone and quit making them move around, there'll be less greenhouse gases coming out of the buffalo, so it ought to be a even worse. I don't know. What do you guys think? All right, let's see here. Let's go to the text line and see what I got. A few funny ones here. So my question, my Wheeler General Store funny question of the day was, what do you call a cow that just had a calf? One person said cow. One person said mama cow or fifth or sixth calf heifer. One person said pear. And another person said exhausted. And one person got it right. So what do you call a cow that just had a calf? Decaffeinated. That's what you call it. So let's go to a Wheeler Dental Store break on that right there. Be right back. And I have Marcus Thibodeau, wildlife biologist and manager from Pack Saddle and Ellis County WMAs. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Yeah. Meet AgSense 365 from Valley. They've combined their best in-class remote irrigation management applications into one powerful platform. Easily manage everything from pivots to pumps and more anytime, anywhere, all with AgSense 365. Contact Knutson Irrigation at 1-800-373-9325 today to learn more about AgSense 365, the most intuitive app for remote irrigation management. Online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Hay wrap is what people use in their balers, the farmers, when they want to, you know, baling up hay, it wraps it up, is better than twine. So it's like one consistency, holds everything together, lasts longer, easier to cut off. Well, we started selling it because we got asked for it, because nowhere around here to really buy it, the good kind of net wrap that we have. So we found a vendor that's good price, and now we carry it. We've got it. Camrock is right south of Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City, Oklahoma.
Hey farmers, it's Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. It's time to plant summer cover crops. We carry the best quality cover crop seeds available. If you need ag chemicals, we can ship bigger orders straight from the warehouse to your farm with unbeatable prices. And as always, we're an authorized livestock nutrition center dealer. Call us, visit us on South Randall in Elk City, and follow us on Facebook. SEI Agritech, your partner in productivity.
I've had several clients when we're sitting in a closing room, we're signing the final pieces of paper, and we slide the keys across the desk and tell them, congratulations, you're a homeowner, and they're just elated. They're thrilled. They finally realize that their dream came true. They were actually able to own a home, and the children are in there with them. And they're like, I get to go get my new room. It's for the whole family to enjoy. They're very excited to own a home. I'm Joe Shepard, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
You're so busy out on the farm, you don't run into town unless you absolutely have to. The folks on the east side of Wheeler make it easier for you to stay on the farm. They'll deliver high-pro feed in bulk to your place. They deliver bulk feed in five states. They're used to it. But if you're in town, stop in and ask about lick tubs and talk to them about fertilizer. They've got plenty of that, too. Your cattle and crops don't have better friends than the folks at the Wheeler General Store. Sure, they're on Facebook, but mostly they're on Highway 152 on the east side of Wheeler. That's Wheeler General Store.
Need precision parts done right and fast? At K4T in Elk City, we specialize in CNC machining, welding, and fabrication for the oil field as well as ag industries. We're a full-service job shop built on grit, speed, and craftsmanship. Whether it's a one-off prototype or full production, we get it done right every time. Family-owned and third-generation strong, Jason and Jamie Koss treat your job like it's their own. Stop by K4T on Merritt Road in Elk City or find us on Facebook, K4T. Built on family, driven by craftsmanship.
This season, Army Worm, better watch out. Because your wheat is protected by Lumavia CPL insecticide seed treatment with a unique mode of action that starts at the seed, then moves through the plant to protect it from roots to shoots for strong stand establishment and better yield potential. Army Worms, you're out of here. Learn more at Corteva.us/LumaviaCPL.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's see here. Let's check out some ag weather for northwestern Oklahoma. Let's go to my cousin's place up there in Camargo. 77 degrees, feels like 77. Dew point 63, humidity 63. Winds are out of the northeast at a whopping 10 miles an hour. 71 hundredths of an inch of rain in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 90 degrees. Sunset 8:43, 84 for a high today, 64 for a low tonight, and 86 and partly sunny tomorrow. Hello, is this the Durham Fire Department I'm calling?
Hey, is this Tradio?
No, this is Hadio.
No,
there's no Tradio here, sir. I got fired from that job. What's up, Marcus?
Oh, just enjoying this nice day. It's been a beautiful summer, hadn't it?
Oh, yeah. How's the cover look up there?
It's when's the last time you've ever seen blue stem that is blue in August?
It's been a while.
You know, I don't know if I've seen it since I've lived here. It's looking great. It's
looking great. Well, this cooler weather should help us with either our second or third hatching with the mom and dad on the nest right now. Do you think or not or what?
Yeah, you know, turkeys and quail, I mean, this cooler weather, it definitely helps. You know, those hailstorms, they can have some impacts locally, but, man, overall, it's been probably one of the best nesting and brooding seasons that I've been able to experience up here, and we are starting to see some you know, poults and some young quail, so it's been nice.
Been nice. What a so do I have my quail quail facts right? When they pair up, they do their thing, they have eggs, they sit on them, get them a little covey going there, a bunch of little babies going there, and then does the male end up raising those quail while the female goes off and finds another mate and has another brood? Is that the way that goes?
Yeah, for quail, that's how it works. You know, turkeys will re-nest if they lose a nest or lose a brood. They might re-nest. But for quail, as long as they're having success, that female will leave the brood with the male and continue trying to lay more eggs. Now, every time she lays eggs, she's going to lay a smaller clutch.
Okay.
But, you know, that they lay the eggs about one at a time, like one per day, and then they have a 23-day incubation period. And then, you know, the hatching is synchronized. So they all are hatched out, you know, the scientific term, precocial. You know, when those quail hatch, they're ready to go. They're running around with dad, eating bugs and ready to grow up. You know, they're not like a, you know, little barn swallow on your front porch that's just got babies waiting to get fed by mom. They're, when they hatch, they're ready to run around. So.
Either you're tough or you're not, right?
Yeah. And, you know, you'll see them. We call them bumblebee quail because, I mean, that's what they look like.
Yes.
Little fuzzballs running around.
Yes, it's exactly what they look like. And the, so that's crazy. I don't know if you've seen it on social media here 2-3 weeks ago with which I call the blue quail. There was one running around with like 100 babies. Is that possible?
So sometimes you'll see quail put broods together, you know, and I think Dale Rollins, if you've ever seen the Rolling Plains quail research stuff down in Rotan, Texas, he calls them mega broods.
Yeah.
And it's just safety in numbers, you know, if you got a lot of kids, having somebody else there to help look after them makes things a lot easier. So.
It sounds like to me these quail are acting like Mormons. So, safety in numbers.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, so let's talk about what's coming up next Friday, because I got some more stuff I want to talk to you about anyway. And let's talk about what's coming up next Friday at the Pack Saddle WMA, and it's happening, starts at 8:30 next Friday morning and lasts till 4:00 in the afternoon, and lunch will be provided between the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife, the Pheasants Forever, Quail Forever, the OSU Extension, the NRCS, and there's one more. I can't see who's that other one?
The Prescribed Burn Association.
Yes, the Prescribed Burn Association. I think small print. I can't zoom in on my computer here. What's happening there?
Well, so Quail Forever reached out, just said there was a lot of interest for a field day, asked if I'd host one, told them of course, and it's going to be a pretty casual thing. We're going to meet up in the morning and just take a tour around Pack Saddle, talk about quail habitat, you know, throughout the year, things that I'm doing on the WMA, get to see some before, some after, some of my successes, some of my failures managing for quail. You know, it's always hard to talk about you know, what something might, what a piece of property might look like if you do a prescribed fire, if you do some certain habitat management. And out here, we'll be able to show that to the landowners. And then, you know, we're going to do some specifics to Western Oklahoma. Oil and gas is really, really popular right now. They're drilling a lot. Show how I mitigate some of those impacts to wildlife with rigs that come onto the area. So, and just whatever the participants want to learn about. See some of the food plots that we plant for quail. Just anything that they want to learn about. You don't have to be a landowner to go to it. If you're just a quail hunter and want to kind of learn more about them and become a better quail hunter, you know, more than welcome to come. It's going to be a pretty casual thing. Have the Prescribed Burn Association there. Greg Allen from Cheyenne talking about all the success that they're having in Roger Mills County with the Prescribed Burn Association, how that works. NRCS will be there, talk about some cost share programs, you know, just kind of hit it from every angle. We're not trying to tell you what to do, just showing you all the different tools and things to think about and let you go home and chew on it and see what you might want to implement on your deal.
Yeah, because it's time. I mean, it's time to get starting about things you want to do for the quail, the turkey, or whatever for the winter.
Yeah, and just, you know, I mean, we graze, we got oil and gas, we burn, we do it all. And so, you know, when I do these things, I always want to have the landowners just speak up about issues they're facing, because it might have been something that we've faced, or, you know, cedar trees, brush, whatever. And, you know, it's our job to stay on top of the latest technology and the latest tools to help combat that. We can usually show them where we've done it, let them learn from mistakes that we've made, you know, stuff like that. So it's not one of those things that sometimes people think the field days is just a guy standing on a soapbox and telling you what you need to do. I don't tell anybody what they need to do. I just show them what I've done and serve as a resource for them. So,
well, obviously you've done a great job. I think you have personally, because the I know you're, what do they call those people that have issues with fire, pyro, what do they call them?
Oh, a pyromaniac.
Yeah, is that you?
Well, we did burn the other day up here, burned off a big shinery pasture, so we'll be able to look at that. And one of the cool things we're going to incorporate into this is, you know, Pack Saddle WMA has been one of the most studied areas for quail research since it was purchased in 1990. We've got about 3 or 4 different quail research projects happening right now on the area. So we're going to have some of the researchers and some of the staff from OSU down to talk about past research, current research, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, when it comes to quail management, you know, topics nationwide, a lot of that research is done right here. So give some of the participants kind of a firsthand look at that.
Can you tell us about one of the projects that's going on, something cool?
So, I mean, a couple of them. We get a lot of interest from people, from private landowners, about what to plant for quail, right? Like what foods quail like, one versus the other. And believe it or not, that hasn't really been studied in quail. And so we're putting satellite GPS backpack collars on quail and following them around, you know, following the path that they take throughout a day and seeing what all food sources were available where they went through, and then we actually collect some samples from where they roost and do some DNA analysis on their feces to see what they utilized, right, what they actually ate versus what was available in the field, and we're going to track that through the year, see how it changes. Are they really just eating what's most abundant on the landscape and what's the easiest to get, or do they have some selection? And why might they have that?
Oh, boy. Hey, Marcus, you got time for me to take a break, and we'll come back and finish up with some more of that research?
Yeah, perfect.
All right. We're going to take a Wheeler General Store break, and we'll be right back after this.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Looking for water? F&H Drilling Services has you covered. Residential, commercial, or livestock wells, we drill it all. We also sell and service solar panels, solar pumps, irrigation, and residential pump systems. No water, no well, no problem. F&H is based right here in Elk City, Oklahoma. Locally owned, professionally trusted. Call F&H Drilling Services today at 580-225-1781. F&H, water is our business.
Reap the rewards of buying a new zero-turn mower from DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City. You'll enjoy discounted cash prices or financing with approved credit. A free t-shirt and cap, DJ's discounts, and a large selection of in-stock blades, belts, and OEM parts. They'll take care of any warranty work that needs to be done, and you'll have the peace of mind that comes with making a purchase from a business you know and trust. DJ's is your authorized Spartan, Cub Cadet, and Hustler mower dealer located on South Main in Elk City.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage, you don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way because a couple of years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County.
Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
My papa started Hutton Inc. in 1983.
And now our uncle runs it just like papa did.
We're learning the ropes, too, because this isn't just dirt work, it's family legacy.
From GPS-guided earthwork to excavation, house and building pads, topsoil and aggregate sales, drainage repair, forklift and manlift rentals, Hutton Inc. does it all.
3 generations strong, we move the earth and your future.
Call Hutton Inc. at 580-225-0225.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. I picked the Sandy Sanders WMA. 84 degrees, feels like 87. Heat risk is low. Dew point 68, humidity's 59. The winds are out of the northeast at 6 miles an hour. 90 degrees is the 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature and 8:41 sunset. Sunny, 89 today. Mostly clear in the 60s tonight, 68 degrees. And tomorrow, a whopping 91 degrees. And northeast winds switching, be out of the southeast in the afternoon. Well, on the phone with me right now is Mr. Marcus Thibodeau, my favorite man from the French Quarters. He is the manager of the WMA Wildlife Management Area up there at Pack Saddle in Ellis County. He helps out tremendously with Black Kettle, and sometimes him and Joe does projects down at Sandy Sanders. You're just a busy guy. Plus, you got a family.
Yeah, I try to stay busy. Keeps everybody out of trouble.
Is that what you call the Marcus Thibodeau weight loss program?
It doesn't work very well. That's quail hunting. That's what it is.
Oh yeah, that is. Yeah, I'm sure your wife's really happy with you when quail season gets here.
Oh yeah, you know, she'll ask me like, you know,
what month are you going to be home?
When's quail season start, you know?
All right, so we were talking about before we went to break, he was talking about these backpacks and trying to learn what area these quail are in and what they're eating. Are they being picky, or are they just eating what's available? At the end of this 2, 3, 4 years, whatever, what are you thinking it's going to tell you?
Well, so it's going to, what is my gut feeling on it?
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah, that's the one I want.
We see some resource selection in other birds, like ducks and turkeys, specifically from, like, females right before breeding season. They'll start eating insects, right? They really eat a lot of bugs for that calcium carbonate, that exoskeleton, so they can make eggshells.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine we'll see a lot of that with the quail. But, you know, I'm not really sure. How I came up with this project is, you know, and I'm going to give away one of my biggest secrets for being a successful quail hunter. So
right here on my show, you are?
I'm about to do it. That's how good of a friend you are, Jimmy.
Let's do it. I want to hear it.
All right. So when I'm quail hunting, that first quail that I get in my bag, I'll break his crop open and look at what he's eating.
Okay.
I identify seeds, everything, because that tells me where I need to be focusing on to go hunt in the future, right? And I usually try to do it later in the day. You know, that first couple days, I'll hunt later in the day. That way in the mornings, I know where to focus. I've been doing this since I've been quail hunting as a kid, right? Like, my uncle showed me how to do it. And it works, you know, like, you can see what quail are looking for, and you can see just big shifts in their diet. You know, when these shinnery acorns drop on the ground, these quail shift up here from being in the upland stuff to being hard, you know, deep in the shinnery, eating those acorns. And so what I noticed doing that is, even though the majority of what their diet might be composed of changes as the winter goes on, there's always a few things that are pretty constant in there. I'm not going to give those up, but they stay pretty constant in there. And when you're looking for that on the landscape, it's not very widely available. So it made me think, like, man, a quail would have to be looking for that stuff to eat it. Because if you're just walking around, you might not see any. Like, you've got to really look for it, and you might not see it.
Okay.
So that's what made me think of that. And so, I mean, there's more stuff that goes into it. Part of the project, you know, looking at how the weather might influence what they're eating or where they're going to eat, things like that. Just all these things that just, you know, managing habitat is a living science. It's like medicine. It's always changing. The same way that we treat illnesses with medicine today, we don't do it the same way that we did 5 years ago or 10 years ago. That's the same thing applies to habitat management. It's always growing on the research that's done.
Well, I think the most you got a bunch of them, but one of my favorite interesting stories that you told me, and I would like for you to repeat it if you remember. You remember when you told me they put a radio collar on a quail there, a female there at the research center, and you guys found it in Arnett?
It went to Arnett, hatched out a brood, so 17 miles north, took it to the town of Arnett, hatched out a brood, and then brought them right back to where she was caught.
And this was, she left pack saddle, what, in the spring? Is that right?
Yeah, she did. Yep.
And then she went to some lady's backyard in Arnett?
Went to a... went to town. I mean,
yeah. In case she had an emergency, she could go to the hospital.
Yeah. So,
and And by hunting season, she was back
on the area right where she was caught. You know, we've had quail that we've banded. You know, we band quail just to keep up with harvest pressure. We've had banded quail from pack saddle harvested in Canadian, Texas.
Yes, and that's a long ways.
That's a long ways, yeah. It's really crazy. And the stuff that we're learning about quail is, you know, different than when I was in graduate school in 2016. You know, with the technology's changed. These satellite GPS backpacks that we're putting on quail, first one ever developed was put on a quail right here at Pack Saddle WMA, you know, in 2018.
So, and I think you sent me a deal on that where you showed this bird, what these birds were doing. I don't remember if it was a half section or 160 acres. And they basically, in one day, they cover that whole quarter.
Yeah, the movement, you know, when I was in graduate school, you were taught that a covey of quail probably lived and died on 40 acres.
How wrong they were.
Yeah, so it's almost like we're starting back over. Just, it's crazy, some of the stuff that we're learning that we always just kind of assumed about, you know, certain animals. And that's the hard part is, especially with wildlife research, you know, they don't get much attention until the populations start going down, right? No one's really worried about doing all this research until they really need it. So I'm glad that, you know, Pack Saddle's been able to serve as a consistent place to always have research going on, because we're getting ahead of the curve on some of that stuff and looking at things in different ways. I know sometimes it might look like the same projects are just happening over and over again, and sometimes they do, but with better technology.
Right.
But we're really, you know, the Department of Wildlife is really focused on doing research that's going to, we call it, move the needle, make a difference, give us a applicable product at the end of it, and it's going there. It's doing a good job at getting that done.
So in your unprofessional gut feeling, do you think that quail's habits have changed since 2010 when we had the worst drought ever?
I think the quail in western Oklahoma are their own subspecies of quail. I mean, if you go to Kansas and hunt bobwhite quail, they act like bobwhite quail, and we get about 1 week of that, and then they turn into like hybrid blue quail. These are the most running quail I've ever hunted in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it has nothing to do with me getting older, you know, but.
Or thinner.
I'm walking a little slower. Yeah, something. But no, it's, you know, I see the biggest implications just coming from the shift to working with private landowners. You know, that's, the 97% of Oklahoma is private property. How well Pack Saddle WMA looks for quail isn't really going to make a difference for the entire state unless I do things like this workshop and can bring in private landowners. And if they walk away and do one thing different on their property, you know, it adds up a lot and makes a big difference. So
yeah, we got
serving is a big deal.
And I can't never say it enough, and people probably get like, oh, he's going to say that again. I'm telling you, the program that we started down here in central and southwestern Oklahoma where the county commissioners delay the roadside mowing, and if they can, unless it's a safety issue, until July, and then save the fence line mowing as long as they can or not do it all, I think it's made a difference.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the lowest hanging fruit that I preach to every private landowner is just disking fire guards in the wintertime. If you will disk your fire guards in, you know, in January or February to protect your property, right? We have catastrophic wildfires. We've had them year after year. If you'll just disk, you know, start disking fire guards on your property to protect it from a wildfire, you'll see the sunflowers, the ragweed, the croton, all this stuff that is beneficial for wildlife come up. And that alone will make a big difference. And it's not asking you to do anything different, but to protect your assets. So that's one of my lowest hanging fruits that I think every landowner should be doing is just putting in some winter fire guards.
Cool. Well, we got about 50 seconds left here. How do they...
We have, it's on our social media. The department will be making a post tomorrow. Quail Forever's got it going on their social media, OSU Extension. And if you go to the calendar for the Department of Wildlife, that event will be on there. We just ask people to register so we have enough for
food.
Everybody.
Yep, food for good. Marcus, thank you so much. It's always, I can't wait for us to start a new project we got coming up.
Yep, it's always a good time. Thank you, Jimmy.
All right, have a good day. Thanks, Marcus. Have a great weekend, everybody. This is the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5
First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Zaire.
Four wheeling in the mud. That's what country sounds like. Thanks for making us number one, 96.5.